everything wrong. But from the beginning, even unto eternity, would just be pure, holy, without any mark of sin in us. Yes, we would live eternally with God, but we wouldn't enjoy being with God as it would be and we come through the way we came. You know, we sing that one day we'll sing a song that the angels cannot join us because they never experienced that grace. It's because I was born a sinner, not an angel. That's why I can enjoy the goodness of God and the depth of His grace. So whatever we went through, whatever snares we were caught in, it was not to our disadvantage, but it was to manifest the grace of God. Amen. So we thank God this afternoon because of His love toward us. Amen. The Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be going back home. So we really solicit your prayers. By the grace of God, we are looking forward to coming back again.
Amen.
So we already solicit your prayers. Maybe after the meetings at the end of the month in that place, I'll be going to Malawi and be there with Brother Tony Nkange, and we have fellowship there in Malawi. And I believe after coming back from Malawi, I've got to go down South Africa. So I solicit your prayers that in all this the Lord may be leading, that we may be of use in the hand of God, even as we see the sun setting. I cannot run away from the fact that my son is setting also. So I better work hard and commit more to God as we near the closing of the chapter. We have really enjoyed our stay here and the fellowship that we have had, and I really want to commend you on your putting up this structure. As I was saying with my brother there, we really have taken a leaf from here. It's been a great inspiration to us, and we thank God that He put upon your hearts to have a place for the name of the Lord. May God continue to bless you as we humbly serve the Lord. Yes, we know the coming of the Lord is at hand, and it's best when whatever God blesses us with, that we put a part back to Him for His glory. That is the best way we can use our fortunes, our blessings, and all that comes through our hands is to give it back to God, even for His glory. Amen. So let's just open our hearts and commit ourselves to God. is our brother John, brother Martin Wanjala, continues to serve the food.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Judge. God bless you.
Amen.
Yeah, I thought that the anointing is upon it. Yeah, to continue. But all things work for good. We thank God. I want us to open the book of Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We shall read verse 1 up to 16. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brethren. And Judah begot Perez, Sarah of Tamar, and Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Aminadab, and Aminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Solomon. And Solomon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David, and David the king, and David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah Bathsheba. And Solomon begot Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. And Asa begot Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Ushia. And Ushia begot Jotham, and Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. And Hezekiah begot Manasseh, and Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah. And Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud, and Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Satok, and Satok begot Ajim, and Ajim begot Eliud. And Eliud begot Eleazar, and Eleazar begot Matan, and Matan begot Jacob. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. May God add the blessings upon the reading of his word. Yeah, it is a strange teaching. It's a strange reading. We can see. Maybe many are wondering what will come out of this. But every scripture is there for instruction and for teaching and for edification. So this afternoon I want us to look at our sharing. I have entitled our sharing "The Generation of Jesus Christ." So we are the generation of Jesus Christ. And the devil for many, many years have been trying to stop the generation of Jesus. So we see here in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. The book of genealogy of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So because we are a part of the generation of Jesus, and this generation of Jesus, there is something special for that generation. And when God was speaking to Abraham, Abraham wanted to know how many descendants he has. And the Bible says that God took Abraham outside the house, outside the tent. So outside the tent, it was showing that you cannot understand the things of God unless you are out of the flesh. So Abraham was taken outside the tent. And he was instructed by God to look upward. So when Abraham was looking up, God wanted Abraham to number the stars. So those stars were representing sons and daughters of God. So already we are represented in heavenly places. The star is very far away from the earth. And there is no weapon that a man can shoot and it reaches the star. That is why the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And those stars were having names. So when Abraham was out, he saw every elect that will come on this earth. You and me, you are represented in those stars. Those stars were having one language, the language of heaven. They were having one master, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So that is why when Jesus was born, also he was represented by the three stars. And those stars, they came together to form a cluster of stars, showing that man who has been away from God is now coming back to God. So they were showing the generation of Jesus Christ. So the generation of Jesus Christ, they were born from his loin. So we are at the seat of Abraham, and that seat God put in Abraham. So we can look at this scripture back again. Matthew chapter 1, verse 3. And Judah begot Perez and Sarah of Tamar. So it pleased God for this generation to pass through Tamar or Tamar. And you know the life of Tamar. She was a widow. And she was married in the house of Judah. And the Bible says that the ruling scepter will never leave Judah. So God was watching for that generation to make sure that the ruling scepter can never leave Judah. But the devil was also watching for that generation, and he was fighting the sons of Judah. You remember the sons of Judah? They died mysteriously. And a younger son remained. And tutor said, I cannot give the younger son Tama because maybe he can bring misfortune. So Tamar remained a widow in the house of Judah. Tamar represented a church which is not a denomination. A church which is on this earth, waiting for the true city to come. And we know the true city is the Lord Jesus. So while Tamar was waiting, yet a younger son of Judah was growing. Our Lord Jesus is preparing to come. So we are here waiting for the fulfillment of this generation. So one day Tamar went to ask Judah, I know that now my husband is grown up. Why can't you allow my husband to come? So Judah was touching because he was feeling that maybe the other younger son will also die. I am only hitting the highlights because I've read that scripture in Genesis. So when Judah was touching, one day he went to shear his sheep. And Tamar had a revelation of what he wanted to do. So Tamar also planned in order to trap Judah so that he can catch that seed to maintain the generation. And Tamar, he went and put up the garments of a harlot. And he waited on a certain corner. And when Judah reached there, she saw a harlot. And the Bible says that Judah went to her. And they bargained the price. You know what happened. After Judah being with her, Tamar conceived. And after conceiving, Judah received information that your daughter-in-law is now pregnant. So he acted hastily. And he said, okay, we want to see who gave her the pregnancy. We are going to burn her alive. So they went and took Tamar out of the house. And when they were inquiring who is responsible for this pregnancy, Tamar said, the one who is responsible for this pregnancy is the one who gave me this staff. Yeah, and that was the staff or the ruling scepter of Judah. So Judah said that you are more wise than me. So already Tamar was carrying the seed of Judah. When you read that scripture and you start speaking about it, Judah is sleeping with Tamar, people will always conceive it carnally. But that was showing the spiritual things. God was watching over the generation of Jesus Christ. And he was watching over the ruling scepter. So from that time onward, Tamar was carrying the seed of Judah. And from Tamar, the Bible says that, and Perez begot Hezron. So we see the two twins who were born from Tama. And the name Perez signifies divisions. And the other son was showing that it is now the new beginning. Because Tama, he gave birth to two twins. So we see that the generation of Jesus Christ, it cannot be defeated. So that generation also, God appointed that generation to pass through Rahab. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, and Solomon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. We see Tama was a widow, and Rahab was a prostitute. The generation of Jesus Christ is coming from all kinds of people. People who are good and those who are also bad. We are all sinners saved by grace. We see Tama was a widow and Rahab was a prostitute. So the generation of Jesus was also in Rahab. And Rahab was staying in Jericho. And Jericho was showing the wicked city of this world. And Jericho was under the wicked kings. All the years that Rahab was staying in Jericho, we are not told how many men he was having. Rahab represented Christians who are in this world, who are also surrounded by wicked schemes of the enemy. It was not the wish of Rahab to do what she was doing. She was only a prisoner. She wanted to go out, but there is no way he could go out. But one day God provided a way by sending the captain of the war, the man called Joshua. Joshua means Jehovah's Savior. When he was still in sin, God sent Jesus, who is our Jehovah's Savior. And he came in this wicked world and lifted us out of Jericho. So the power that was coming to lift Rahab was in Joshua. So Rahab was there with great expectation. We are also expecting our Lord Jesus, who is more than Joshua, to come. And when Joshua reached Jericho, God gave Joshua a formula that you cannot make Jericho to go down unless you carry the ark. So the ark was showing the Lord Jesus. In every battle that you have, my brother, my sister, you must put the ark number one in your life. Put Jesus number one in your life. And every battle will be under your feet. So Joshua put the Ark of the Covenant in front of him, showing that you must put the work of God number one in your life. The kingdom of God must be number one in your life. Then other things will follow. So God also raised a standard by telling Joshua, you need to go around Jericho 6 times. And the seventh time you will go 7 more times. So 6 plus 7, you get 13. And 13 is the number of rebellion. So Joshua was repairing against the wicked city. We are also repairing against the wicked schemes of the enemy by also going round to number 7. That is the number of perfection. Jesus is requiring a perfect church. The generation of Jesus Christ must be a perfect church. So the kingdom that were under the ruling power in Jericho, they were wondering, what is Joshua doing? Because he was just marching and singing. And they were going back to their tent. When we come in the fellowship, we also sing and praise. That shows in the spiritual realm we are marching. We are marching to Zion, the beautiful city. The builder is God himself. So when we are marching, the table is confused. That is why we need serious praise and worship in our churches. And when they were going around the city, God was descending from heaven to come and join them as the commander of the army. And why was Joshua going around the city? The purpose was to rescue Rahab from that wicked city. What is the purpose of the message going around the world? The major purpose is to rescue you and me from this wicked world. So we thank God for such a divine grace upon us in this world. So when Joshua was singing and praising God with the Levites, Rahab was also enjoying. And the faith of Rahab was also accumulating. Because already she had recognized the message of Joshua. When Joshua sent the 2 spies, already we have the message of the 2 spies. The Old Testament and the New Testament. That is our 2 spies we have today. We have the Word and we have the Holy Ghost. That is the 2 spies we have today. They are encouraging each and every generation of Jesus Christ. That time is no more. That let us put on the full garment of Christ Jesus. So when they went around the 7th time, they went more times, 7 more. Then the angels of God, they demolished the wall of Jericho. The wall did not fall by the power of Joshua. It fell because of the power of God. The same power that makes the Jericho walls to fall is with you. That power is in the Word of God. Every Jericho in your life must fall flat. Every Jericho of sickness must fall flat. Every Jericho of confusion must fall. Every cherk of lessness must fall. Every cherk of misunderstanding must fall. You are no longer a prisoner in Jericho. The message must take you out of Jericho. All other places sinking sand. But we have only one place which is sure. That is in Christ Jesus. So the wall fell down flat. But the house which was on the wall, which belongs to Rahab, did not fall. All other things are falling apart. But the bride is uniting. The bride is coming together. When the wall was shaking, the family of Rahab was coming together. And already Rahab was instructed by Joshua that take all your family. And Rahab went and took her father and her mother and all her brothers and sisters. We are in the family, in the household of Rahab. That was the household of faith. The faith to overcome every satanic power. So when Rahab was rescued from Jericho, God gave Rahab revelation to marry a captain of Joshua, who was a man of war. So God has given you and me revelation to marry also the captain of war, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is a man of war, unstoppable champion. He has been waiting for you. Only continue to press forward. So from Rahab, we get Boaz. And Boaz, because Obed. And Obed because Jesse. So from Rahab, we see Ruth coming in. And Ruth was also a widow. And we see that there were many things which happened to Ruth. So God was watching for that generation. So when things were happening to Ruth, many people were having negative testimony concerning Ruth. But Ruth was looking past the curtain of time. And she saw the bright future. She saw a rich man by the name of Boaz was preparing to get a bride, was preparing to marry. Also, we are seeing a bright future in front of us. The coming of our Boaz is the Lord Jesus. A rich man who owns the heavens and the earth, who makes everything possible. When you are in the field of powers, the impossible become possible. And all failure in the field of powers is written in a pencil. You have power to erase it. Failure is not permanent in your life. We have power to erase every failure. So when you are a failing, my brother, my sister, don't give up. The Bible says, let the weak say you are strong. So we have come here to strengthen one another. And because we have come to strengthen one another, we need to work like Ruth. She was not a lazy lady. She was somebody who was hard working. She recognized a field of poor. The generation of Jesus knows where to work. That is why we are in the field of poor here in Lusaka. This is not just a local church. It is the field of the Lord Jesus. And Ruth was there working from morning to evening. She was laboring in love, waiting for that day to come. We are laboring because of the love of Christ Jesus. Laboring to sit and waiting upon that day. And one day, Ruth was elevated to a higher dimension. And Boaz commanded his men that when you are now harvesting the wheat, they drop some wheat purposely for Ruth. So Jesus has commanded his angels that when my ministers are laboring in the field, drop purposely the portion of revelation to them so that they can take that revelation and use it. So we are here in the field of Boaz, and the only people who can work in that field is the generation of Jesus. There was no competition in that field. Because Ruth was the only woman who was working behind those men. The church of Jesus is one church. There is no any other church we can compete with. We are all in one faith and working under our master, the Lord Jesus. So Ruth was watching for that generation. And one day, her mother-in-law instructed Ruth. The mother-in-law instructed Ruth that in order for you to succeed in this marriage, you need to wash yourself and put on the right garments, and then time where that rich man is sleeping and recognize where his feet is, then go secretly and raise his blanket and put your head there. That is what we did when Christ died on Calvary. We recognized where he put his head and where he put his feet. So we are here because of the message of Calvary. When our boss, who is Christ Jesus, died on Calvary, that is when the church came out secretly. And on the day of Pentecost, they came out boldly. So you know what happened? And then finally, Boaz married Ruth. And when they married Ruth, the Bible said that he begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. And David the king begot Solomon. And you know the matter of Solomon. The matter of Solomon was Bathsheba. And she was also a widow. So we see that God was watching over the generation of Jesus to make sure that David must be born through that generation. So when we see Boaz marrying somebody who is looking like is not the right character, it was the plan of God. And all who have come to Christ Jesus, they were having certain weaknesses. And that is why we need a stronger person. Because our cradle land, where we came from weak places. And when Tebit was born, the Bible says that Tebit was a mighty man. And God was watching for that generation. And he saw that that generation must come also through Bathsheba. And Bathsheba also produced Solomon. And from Solomon, we see that we have also other generation. And God was watching over that generation. And finally, in verse 16, chapter 1 of Matthew, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So when Joseph espoused to Mary, it was not by chance. It was the plan of God, and God was watching for that generation. So when Jesus was born, the Bible says that it's the major focus and attention of all that God is doing on this earth. So when Jesus was born, we are very happy that we are identified with him. When he was there laying on the manger, we were also inside him. And when he started preaching the gospel, we were also inside him. And when he was feeding those multitudes with bread, we were identified with him. When he was walking upon the waters, we were identified with him. When he went to Calvary, we were identified with him. So Jesus was showing that my generation are in me, and the devil will never overcome that generation. Look at a man like Stephen in the book of Acts. He was part of the generation of Jesus. When they were hitting him with stones, instead of Stephen crying, "Oh, I am feeling pain," Stephen was saying, I see heaven being opened. So while people were struggling to kill Stephen, Stephen was receiving more revelation and to tell people that now, in the position that he is in, he is no more in the body. And he was telling them that I see a God on his throne. And those men, they refused to hear the voice of Stephen. But God was testifying to those men that you cannot stop the generation of Jesus. When that generation of Jesus, when Philip received the revelation that he is part of that generation, he was preaching somewhere, and then the power of the Lord came upon him, and that power lifted him. We don't know how many thousands of kilometers, and he was put in front of another man called Ethiopian eunuch. He was coming from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, and Philip was the generation of Jesus. So it shows that the generation of Jesus is wise, and they have ability to preach the word of God. That generation has power, and they are only on this world to do the will of our Father in heaven. We see a man like Peter. They took him inside the inner prison. The devil was trying to stop that generation. But the Bible says while Peter was in prison, the church were praying in one of our sisters. They were in the house of the sister called Rota. So the generation of Jesus is a prayerful church. People whom you cannot pay to come for prayer. When things are hard, they come together for prayer. That is the generation of Jesus. And while their pastor was in the problem, they were not texting message of WhatsApp. Maybe other people were planning how they can go and buy a good coffin for Peter, because tomorrow they were already going to kill him. Maybe some members were saying, okay, now tomorrow I will contribute and I will preach a cow to slaughter in the funeral of Peter. But that generation has no minds like that. They came together in prayer and they looked at what is happening on the throne of God. And on the throne of God it was written, Peter, you will not die unless you accomplish the purpose of God. Also, you cannot die now unless you accomplish the purpose of God. So while they were praying together, God sent one angel and it descended in that prison. And he opened the prison and the angel told Peter, cater. And all the chains that was upon Peter were broken to pieces. The same angel came to you when you are in prison, maybe in prison of sickness, in prison of worry, in prison of discouragement. The same angel is the Holy Ghost has come down to break every chain and set you from that prison. So Peter was taken out of the prison. Because you cannot stop the generation of Jesus. So he was directed straight to where the people were praying. So we need today, we need to see men and women who are on fire for prayer. In order for the ministry to prosper, we need prayer. In order for the foreign mission to prosper, we need prayer. So while they were praying, one sister had already prayed and she had breakthrough. And she was waiting to see Peter. Then she heard somebody knocking on the door. Then she went there and she saw it was Peter. So he came back and told those who were praying, I have seen Peter. So those who were praying and doubting, they stopped their prayer. And then they told that lady, your head is not normal. How can you see Peter and already is put inside the inner prison? When you are a prayerful person, God will elevate you to another dimension. You will see reality of things while other people are only seeing history. She came back again and said, it is Peter. But those brethren were not believing. So why were they praying? So it means that their prayer was not to make Peter come out of the prison. That is the generation of Jesus. We see that generation Martha and Mary received revelation that they were part of that generation. When their brother Lazarus died, God gave them a revelation that Lazarus is part of that generation. You must call Jesus to resurrect Lazarus. So when Jesus came back, he did not just come back to feast that family, to comfort them with words. No. He came purposely to raise Lazarus. The same Lord is coming back again to raise the saints who are asleep in their tombs, and also the living saints like Mary and Martha. The two groups will welcome Jesus. So we are a part of that generation. When Isaiah recognized that he was part of that generation, he wrote 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, which means that that generation loved the word of the Lord. When Elijah recognized that he is part of that generation, he killed all the prophets of Baal and destroyed all the altars of Baal. You must understand that you are a part of the generation of Jesus. That is a generation whereby the devil cannot tamper about that. We see many examples in the Bible. When Brother Branham recognized that he is part of that generation, you can see the deeper messages that he preached. He was not just a theory preacher. He was a practical preacher. That is the generation of Jesus. And the bride of Jesus today, here in Zambia, where in all nationalities all over the world, those who are listening me by all the media, you are a part of the generation of Jesus. And there is no way the devil will overcome that generation. We see in the book of Revelation chapter 19, Jesus is descending on white horses, and is being followed by that generation, also having white horses. That is the bride of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a privilege we have to be born in the generation of Jesus. Many people today are desiring to be born in royal families. Maybe royal family in America, or a royal family in UK. But we have a revelation. We are born in a royal family, the generation of the Lord Jesus. And in the book of Peter, the Bible says you are at a royal priesthood, a holy nation and a peculiar people. You are not ordinary men and women on this world. You are at a generation of Jesus. Don't allow the devil to confuse you that, oh, you know, I am poor, I cannot afford this. Oh, you are a rich man or a woman. You are rich in revelation. You are rich in the things of God. You are rich in prayer. You are rich in understanding. You are rich, my brother, my sister. We are not poor people from Africa. We are not part of the poor people in Africa. We are a part of the generation of the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a privilege we have. What a wonderful moment we have. Look at the woman who came from Nini, Sheba. The queen of Sheba. She was part of that generation. She came to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. But greater than Solomon is here. We are the same Queen of Sheba. We are not ordinary people. Don't lower your standard. Don't become a baker. You are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. When that generation understands when Jesus is coming and how Jesus is coming. I really wonder, many preachers in Africa, they have become pagans. Oh, every time people say, oh, you know, I have poor church members. There is no poor church members. We are on the same level. God does not measure your spirituality in material things. God measures your spirituality, yeah, with spiritual things. When you go in regions like Karamoja in northern Uganda, maybe if you are used to church waters, you will be in trouble. One day I was there preaching deep in the village and it was raining. It started to rain. So I told you that maybe the pastor will stop the meetings and then we go and rest. But instead they brought an umbrella and covered me with my interpreter. And the meeting continued. And people were sitting attentively. And it was raining. Listening for the word of God. But when that happens in a city or a town, that is the end of the meeting. So one man was sitting in front of me. And when it started to rain, he unwrapped his towel. And that is his own garment. And then he covered it upon his head. And he was just naked, pure naked, without anything. And he was sitting before me, in front of me there. So I became confused because I was now focusing on his nakedness. But so I told my interpreter, "Oh, assist this man to sit properly." So he told me, "No, don't worry about that. He has come to listen to the word of God. That is not your problem." So I continued preaching, and I ignored what I was seeing. So I prayed over 2 hours. And when the preaching was over, I said, okay, now the meeting is over. They went before the Lord, they sang, they prayed. And then the pastor came again and said, okay, we are inviting the preacher for the third session. I don't read it was raining. So I came on the stage again on the third sermon. Yeah, to continue preaching. We finished preaching here in the night at around 10. And all people slept there. They did not go back home. So that is the generation of Jesus. Yeah. So those people love the word of God because they are a part of that generation. Maybe when you charge them, you will say, okay, they are naked, but no, they have a spiritual coming. And that coming is white. Also, we have the same coming. And that coming is white. So this generation, my brothers, my sister, they love one another. They don't fight one another. Because they are the generation of Jesus Christ. That is a generation which have to find love. And they only look unto the author and the finisher of their salvation. So we see here the five women whom the Lord used so that the generation of Jesus can come through them. The first woman is Tamar. The second woman is Rahab. The third woman is Ruth. The fourth woman is Bathsheba. The last woman is Mary. And Mary was a virgin. She represented the end time bride church, which is a virgin. They don't know any teachings of man. What they know is only the divine seed. That is the word of God. And when Mary conceived, she was very happy. We have also conceived. We have the seed of our husband. So we cannot act like other people in this world, because we are carrying the spiritual pregnancy. We are carrying the responsibility of the Lord. We are carrying something greater in us. And the Bible says, he who that is in you is greater than he who that is in the world. So when Mary was carrying that pregnancy, oh, it was a very wonderful time. And the condition was not good in the world. We see here that the government of the Roman government commanded that every person must go back to their homeland so that they can number the people. The purpose of numbering people, the devil wanted to know, is this a second Adam going to be born where? So he was monitoring the generation of Jesus. We see the same condition in the world today. Things are getting tough and tough. Recently we have seen COVID. We don't know next what will come. Things will not get better in this world. But because we are the generation of Jesus, we shall sail through like Mary. We shall sail through like Joseph. So when they went to Bethlehem, and they found that every place was locked for them, there was no place that they could receive them. Also, things are getting tough for the church. Don't worry, the world will not receive you. But there is one who is preparing to receive us. Our Lord Jesus Christ is preparing a place for us, for the generation of Jesus. So we see on the day of Pentecost, 33,000 people who received the Holy Ghost, they become part of the generation of Jesus Christ. So anybody who has the Holy Spirit is part of this generation of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful moment you and I have to be part of that generation. There is many promises written for us because we are a part of that generation. A great reward is awaiting us, and a huge portion of heaven is awaiting us, because we are a part of the generation of Jesus. May God bless us all.
God bless you, Brother Martin. Amen. Amen. Are you blessed?
Amen.
I think a number of you need to visit Karamoja. Yeah, a very strange place, you know. It was once very primitive and backward. And the Lord had raised Brother John Mark to take the message there,
you know. Brother John Mark,
but more importantly, We see God has his people in all places you may not even comprehend or think about. And the greatest privilege we have is we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. God's love to us is not in form of parcels. He gives us like, oh, I have a job now, oh, I have food and things like that. Well, worldly people also enjoy such things. We thank the Lord for them. But the evidence of his love towards us is the gift of his ministry, the ministration of the word coming to you to meet you at your point of need. Praise the Lord, amen. And God just knows how to meet you at that point of need. Have you enjoyed these 2 days? So we are so thankful to the Lord. Shall we stand? I would want us to rejoice
and if what say fie,
as we've come to the end of these meetings.
Kwa
and you know, it is wonderful when you didn't plan things, but somehow the Lord has led you and you see the hand of God in such in such kind of meetings. We didn't know we'll have these 2 days. But here we are. And the Lord blessing us. On 27th, all roads lead to Rufunsa. Okay, on 27th, all roads lead to Rufunsa. That will be, I believe, the last weekend of this month. And Brother Lackson is still there. Let us continue praying for him. And that brother really encourages me, you know. He believed the message out of Rufunsa there. Whilst he was doing for my visitors, you know, this is an interesting testimony. He was part of the people contracted to build the church in Rufunsa. So he used to listen to the preaching whilst doing his bricklaying work. So even when it's on a Sunday, they will be working on the other side of the building. So they would try to request from their boss to say, can we attend the service today? Well, the man would tell them, you want us to make a loss? Because we've calculated the time we're supposed to be here. Now if you start going in the service, so what would happen now is when we sing worship songs inside, he will also be singing outside until one day he just found himself inside the church building. And well, the Lord just touched him. He got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has just done something in his life. So the other day he had a spiritual experience. And so he just loves to be there, you know. So the other weekend he said, I just wanted to do a lot of evangelism activities, and the reports coming so far are very positive that people are coming for the meetings. So when God touches a person, the work becomes very easy because the Holy Spirit does his work.
But
if a person is dragged to church, yeah, you can only go up to a certain extent in trying to, but where you see God touching people and the people spreading the message in Rufunsa, they're just speaking their testimonies, what they've heard, the message they've heard. And I tell you, when we are in a place where people are hungry for the word, God's presence is there to do the work.
Amen.
So let us continue praying for Brother Lakson and those who can. Let us attend the meetings at the end of this month there. To encourage the people there. Now, if you have any piece of clothes you know you are not using, put them aside, let's take them there. If you have a shoe, I'm not saying you put one which is really wasted and you say it's going to Rufunsa. Take it, you are blessing someone there. So if you have extra clothes, let us bless them. Sisters, there are new sisters there who have been baptized in the faith. We need to bless them with something. There are those things you are not using, or perhaps which you are using and you feel inspired, please bring those things. And it will be a blessing to those people. They will feel your love in doing that. Amen. 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 So please, let's do that. You remember, Brother Nzima, the experience you had?
You know, there was a man. He didn't have shoes. And Brother Nzima, the new shoes.